This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Are we doing weather?
You want to
do weather?
All right.
Let's do weather.
ESPN Radio weather forecast brought to you by, well, yeah, let's do that.
Gerber.
When do you get to Gerber?
Well, when your fender needs fending.
Can't fend for itself.
That's it.
I always read in front of me, but I'll read it again.
We'll do it at five.
Yep. It's cloudy currently, 40 degrees. No snow on the ground, which is wild based on what it was like yesterday.
I know.
Was
that just not the epitome of everything that's going on right now? You look out and it's snowing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, hold on a second. And then it quit. And then a little bit later, it started snowing again. And finally, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Why not?
Down to 33 tonight. Tomorrow looks like rain, high of 48. Wednesday's going to be nice, sunny, and 57.
Ooh.
Rain again on Thursday, 59. Rain throughout the weekend as well. So,
okay. I figured something out. If you put me on house arrest, I will become in shape because I could not wait to get out of the house and walk. I'm like, get me out of here.
Yeah.
Get me out. It was too much being inside. Too much. What is it right now?
40.
40.
In cloud.
And here we go.
There's a drive.
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done. Well done.
Swing and a drive.
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
The drive in the two.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman.
Brad Underwood.
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee. Let's go for a little ride.
Let's do it. All right, day 8. No sports. How many days has it been? If we count, it's the Thursday, right? The day before Illinois was supposed to play in the Big Ten tournament.
Correct.
So that would have been how many Thursdays ago? Well, that would have been
not
a week.
Not this past Thursday, but the one before that. So that's a week.
7.
Friday,
8,
Saturday,
9,
Sunday.
10, 11. Or day 11.
Yikes.
No sports. Day 11, no sports. All right, thank you. Isaac Ambrose is here along with Derek Piper. It is The Drive, Tay and Piper.
We're still here, though.
We are here, and I feel like, I know we have a text thread going between Jeremy and Austin and you and I and Trevor, and we're just sitting there pulling guests out of our, you know what, and just saying, let's have some fun with this. I think the boys are reeling in maybe Jay Billis on Wednesday.
How about that?
So that'll be a fun listen. I know this morning they had Ted Karras on. Of course, former Illini offensive lineman. He and Clayton Fegelum both signed with the Miami Dolphins. So they're going to be playing this season with Miami. Karras has a one-year deal and a chance to really kind of cash in on this next deal if he does well with Miami. And Clayton Fegelum has just kind of quietly played about 8 years in the NFL, I think. Isaac, can you effort how many seasons? I know Karras is a two-time Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots, and now, of course, heading down to Miami. Clayton Fegelum, it feels like it shouldn't be 8 years, but I think he's been in the NFL. Maybe not.
Seems like a lot.
That seems like a lot. Maybe not 8. Seems like maybe like 5 or something. Oh, so Isaac's got this. Yes, Isaac.
He was drafted in 2016.
Oh, okay. Well, what am I thinking? 8 years. That's weird. All right, so he's been 16, 17, 18. He played 19,
mm-hmm.
and now he's going on his fifth. Yeah, so,
yeah.
Okay.
I think he ended his rookie deal and then came to the Dolphins.
That's awesome, man, for a guy that, he was good at Illinois, but you didn't really necessarily project him necessarily as a longtime NFL guy, but here he is signing another contract with the Dolphins. So, should be cool. All right, we'll get back to Isaac in a bit. The Olympics are going to be postponed now and pushed more than likely to 2021. I think a good move. The Olympics were to be held, I believe, in Japan. So I think Canada and another country had pulled out, basically saying, this is ridiculous. We're not doing this. So the IOC decided to push the Olympics back a year. Are you an Olympic guy?
Not really, no.
I'm not either. Summer or winter, if you had to?
Probably winter.
Okay. See, I think I'm more summer because I like the track.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Watch the basketball.
But yeah, that's true.
USA just dominates.
And see, hockey, I mean, the hockey's fun, I guess. I used to love when they had softball in the Olympics, but then they got rid of it. Yeah, they had it for like a trial period, and I thought it was awesome, but I love fast pitch softball, so I kind of enjoyed watching them play. But yeah, they pulled that, so that's no longer a deal. I'm sure they're trying to fight to get that back. But yeah, so the Olympics will be pushed back a year. It makes sense to me. So today we got a fun show at 4:30. Corey Bradford, former Illini.
And all credit to you on this, well, on this list.
I promise I'm not sitting here like trying to think of just former Illini to interview. I know we had Jack Ingram on. I only did that because they had the game on Big Ten Network, yeah, the 05 Elite Eight game. But then Corey Bradford, which is unique, Corey has been playing professionally overseas since he graduated at Illinois. I mean, it's a long career for him. Isaac, I'm going to let you effort when Corey graduated. I should know that, but I don't remember things like that. So Corey Bradford's been playing overseas professionally all this time, and he just spent
like
some,
17 years or
yeah,
something, right?
He just spent some time in China. You know what's amazing about, I've got a buddy, Marcus Timmons, that played basketball at SIU. He went to Australia, and I think he just, now he would be 47, 48. No, he'd be younger than that. He'd be about 46 right now, 45, 46. He just quit playing in Australia. He's been playing professionally in Australia all this time. So those guys can go make a pretty good living overseas stuff. So Corey Bradford, though, the unique thing about this was he was playing in China. And, of course, they shut down the league when the outburst happened. And so he had been through one quarantine already. And now he's back in the States. And he's going through another one, basically. So I wanted to get Corey on to talk to him about that and also kind of catch up on his career and Illinois.
Can we see where the three-point streak's at? It's got to be about 4,200, 4,500.
I wonder
straight games with a
I wonder how many threes he's made in his life.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't it be amazing to find out? Did you find out when he graduated?
Yeah, he went undrafted in 2002. He graduated. He's still playing. He's got Vince Carter, like years on him now.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
it really is. Does it have a list of where he's played?
Lots of places, all over the world, it looks like. So yeah.
All right. I mean, does it actually list him?
Yeah, on Wikipedia.
Just fire off some of them.
Dakota Wizards. I can't pronounce like the next four. Albacomp, Achilles, Kamakailai, Taurus.
Does it say the country?
No. I'm just looking at Wikipedia on the side.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, he's been all over. We'll ask Corey. We'll ask Corey where all he's been because it's pretty impressive. So 2002, and here he is. He's still throwing up buckets and getting paid to do it. So we'll talk to Corey at 4:30 today. Yesterday while I was doing on Twitter, because what else are you going to do? And I saw Adrian Griffin, who is Alan Griffin's dad. Of course, Adrian Griffin played quite a few years in the National Basketball Association, the NBA. He also coaches for the Toronto Raptors. He was part of the win, right? The championship.
They won the title. Yeah.
I forgot about that. So Adrian Griffin, I noticed that he was singing on Twitter, and Alan had sent out a tweet basically saying, this needs to stop because now
needs to stop.
Right.
Yeah.
This is what's happening now is my dad is singing and grooving to a song. So we'll have to ask him about that.
Is that actually his voice?
I don't know. I don't know.
Sounded pretty good.
It's pretty good. We'll have to ask him that. If it is, he's a pretty good singer. So I thought, you know what? Maybe he'd come on with us. So I texted him and he's like, yeah, I got nothing better to do. So we're going to talk to Adrian Griffin at 5:05. We'll find out about the NBA, halting the NBA. I mean, So here's the scoop. I know every sport is now shut down, right? But the NBA was the first to do it, Derek. And that took, imagine you being the commissioner of the NBA, which is what, Nate Silver? Is that his name? Adam Silver?
Yeah.
Nate Silver. I don't know. So imagine being Adam Silver and having to decide that. And, you know, a lot of times there might be a thing you can go back to and say, okay, well, this happened back in this day, and this is why we postponed the season. He didn't have any of that. He had no blueprint to look off of. And at the time, hockey was still going. Of course, Major League Baseball spring training was still going.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, they had Rudy Gobert tested positive for the COVID-19. And I'm sure that helped make his decision.
I think he made the decision for the NCAA tournament. Everyone really followed suit.
There's no doubt.
The NBA, because that was the first positive test for an athlete in one of those leagues was Rudy.
I totally agree. So Adam Silver then makes the decision, we're stopping the NBA. And that's a big decision to make. I know those guys make a lot of money as commissioners, but that's still a big decision to make. So I want to ask Adrian, you know, what was that like that night when, you know, did you get a memo? What happens? You know, I assume there's a memo that's sent out saying, hey, we're halting everything, so stop playing. And I'd love to ask Adrian, like, what that was like for these professional athletes to all of a sudden, you know, guys that are not used to being stopped. And all of a sudden, you know, at anything, they can score at will. They can do whatever they want. And all of a sudden, you're like, hey, give me the ball. We're done. You're done. And so I want to ask him about that because that could be interesting. And also about Allen, because Allen Griffin, you know, had a heck of a season his sophomore year. And we're expecting big things out of him. He's got another son, right, that's really good going to Duke?
Adrian Griffin Jr. committed to Duke. Not signed yet, so if you want to try to swim on there, I guess you can try to do that. But a five-star in the 2021 class.
Okay.
Went and saw Allen play both at Penn State and Rutgers.
Adrian Jr. did?
Yes.
Okay.
Adrian Jr. did.
Is that illegally recruiting if I throw something out to Adrian about getting Jr. here? That probably would be. Not during the COVID-19, I don't think.
Yeah, true.
I think everything's open to, I mean, you can do whatever you want.
Patino just came back to NCAA,
Right. It's like, what in the world?
Anything goes.
Hey, Charles just said, okay, I haven't been able to bother you guys for a while. I just wanted to give a shout out to Lon. Lon, you saved my life, my man. When you told your heart story in the air, I felt like I was the one telling the story, so I made some calls. It was a 1-in-a-million shot. They didn't find much plaque. However, they were able to identify a heart defect that I was born with that could have killed me at any moment. Thanks to you, thanks to your push, I'll watch my little girl walk down the aisle someday and get to see how far she goes in basketball. Wow. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
That right there makes it worth everything for me to go out and say that. Thanks, Charles. I'm glad you're okay, man. That's awesome. And, you know, I don't want to revisit that, but I've got like over 150 people that are doing the scan, and they're all like, and everybody so far is coming up good. They're like, man, you were really bad, Lon, because mine's really good. I'm like, well, I had to take one for the team. But something like that really makes me smile. So that's
why you did it, right?
That is exactly why. I had to be pushed to even say that because, you know, a lot of times with health stuff, you kind of keep it to yourself. And I've never been a keep it to myself kind of guy. So I'm glad that I wasn't because, like Charles just said, I mean, if it could help one person, and it has. Yep. And that's wonderful to hear, man. That is great. That is great news. He's 34. So. A guy that at that age, I mean, 34 years old, you don't think that you got any kind of problems. And I'm not sure, you know, with my plaque buildup, obviously at 49 being 99%, I don't know what it would have been at 34. Probably not close to that, but it was on its way. So I'm glad that I could help out as well. Yesterday, I got
to say, what'd you do yesterday?
So yesterday, you know, it's like, what are you going to do, right? So I started cleaning. My house is pretty clean now. And I was going through totes that just have things thrown in them. And I'm like, I need to organize these. So I basically threw away like two. I had things saved in there that I'm like, what is this? And I mean, I have newspapers in there that I'm like, well, surely I saved this for a reason. So I would look through it, wouldn't find anything. So I just pitched it. And I came across two DVDs, the 2006 Cardinals World Series and the 2011 Cardinals World Series. And I sat down at the house and I watched both of those. Man, that is awesome to go back and relive those moments. And both of those teams were kind of teams that didn't really expect to win a World Series. Although wasn't it 2005 with the MV3, right? With Pujols, Edmonds, and Roland that didn't win the World Series. And then they come back in 06 and, you know, I mean, let's be honest, they got a lot of breaks against Detroit because the Tigers, I just don't feel like were very good. Plus, they were throwing the ball all over the place. We remember that. I mean, how many errors at third base? You know, all I can remember from that, and now that I remember this before I started watching the DVD, but I just remember Brandon Inge being on the ground a lot. And it seemed like every throw to third, it was trying to force off a bunt, he'd be on the ground because the throw would be somewhere else. But, you know, you watch those things.
They beat that Mets team, though. It was really good. That Mets team was good.
Remember Indy Chavez?
Yeah.
Oh,
they had Carlos Delgado.
Yes. I did not like Indy Chavez.
Really?
It was Indy, right? Remember the catch he made? He went up and robbed Scott Rowland of the home run.
Yeah.
And the only thing that was fitting to that whole series was that Yadi Molina's home run. Do you remember Sotoguchi homer?
In game two?
Yeah, I think it was game two. And that was after the Mets had taken game one, and then Sotoguchi homers in game two. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. And you had guys like Jeff Suppan. I'm trying to think back.
Jeff Weaver,
who was unreal. He was picked up off the trade deadline, and he was horrible with the Angels. And then he came here. He came to St. Louis and was lights out. Adam Wainwright, of course, was thrust into the closer role because Jason Isringhausen had been hurt. And, of course, he's the one that strikes out Carlos Beltran on the curveball, the nasty curve. And what's cool is going back and watching that, they take you through that series. Have you heard of that? Like, when he takes it through. So Yadi comes. They know Beltran's up. Bases loaded. Cardinals are up a run. And Yadi comes out to the mound, and he says, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start him. We're going to start with a fastball. And Yadi, or Waino goes, I'll do what you want. So Adam said between him being on the mound and then getting back behind the plate, Yadi changed his mind. So Adam, as he's talking, they show the video, and he goes, so basically Yadi looked at me and said, roll with me. And basically Yadi just put his finger in the air and just kind of twirled it like, here, roll with me right now. Mm-hmm. So he starts him with a changeup, strike. Beltran doesn't swing. Goes curveball that Beltran swings and misses, kind of fouls it off. And then he said he threw another curve down, and he said all I wanted to do at that point was throw the nastiest curve I could, and he did, and he froze Beltran, and the Cardinals ended up winning that. And then, of course, they beat the Tigers in that series, and it's just really cool to go back. I know Cubs fans hearing about, give it about another 5 years, and then go back and watch your Cubs win in the World Series, and you'll be like, oh, I forgot that dude was on the team. It's just amazing all the stuff, because the 06 lineup, let's see, that was Preston Wilson, Jim Edmonds.
Yep.
You had Rafael Belliard at second, David Eckstein at short, Scotty Rowland at third, Scott Spezio.
I was going to say, Spezio started some games.
Yeah, he did, and he played a big role. Of course, Spezio was an Illini. He'd be a fun guy to get on. Yadi, of course, catching. You had Albert at first. Who was the right fielder? Encarnacion.
Oh, yeah.
It was Edwin Encarnacion. And then
Reggie Sanders on that team? Did he get hurt?
No, I don't know.
He was before, maybe earlier.
He was before that.
Okay.
He was before. He's more 90s, I think, wasn't he? Reggie Sanders. Maybe not, but no, I don't think he was on that team. They had Aaron Miles. Was on that team. Was Jason LaRue on that team? I don't think he was. Nick Punto, was he 11 or 6? I don't remember. I should know this. I just saw this. I think Punto was. So, yeah, then on the mound you had Chris Carpenter. And then, of course, he beats, was that Halliday? Was that an 11?
11.
Yeah, that was 11.
The DS in 11.
That's right. So you had Carp, because Waino was hurt in 11. Remember that, like, the second day of spring training.
That's right.
They had to do Tommy John on Adam Wainwright, so he was knocked out for the season. But you had Carp, you had Suppan, you had Weaver. I mean, that was just, and the kid that started, Anthony Reyes, started game one of the World Series against Justin Verlander. Two rookies started game
Flat
one.
Flat Bill Anthony Reyes.
Flat Bill Anthony. And he went out and pitched a gem in Detroit at Comerica. That was the first time ever two rookies started a World Series game.
Jeez.
And remember they had like Craig Monroe. Who was the really good hitter? Miguel? Or no, who's the guy that played for the White Sox forever? Miggy? Not, was it? Played for the, and then he ended up playing for the Tigers at Maglio, Ordonez.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had Ivan Rodriguez.
Sean Casey.
Sean Casey killed the Cardinals. I totally forgot how
Curtis
much.
Curtis Granderson.
Yep. That's right.
Pudge.
Pudge Rodriguez. Oh, no, I said Ivan, right?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You're right.
Pudge. They had Pudge behind the plate. It is amazing how Sean Casey in 2006, and then in 2011 when you beat who did they beat in 11? What, my goodness.
Texas.
How, I'm sorry. This is terrible radio. Mike Napoli.
Oh, yeah.
Napoli and Sean Casey killed the Cardinals in those two World Series. But David Eckstein wins MVP, had continuously just had big hits all up and down that order. And then, I don't know, it was just fun to go back and watch that for the Cardinals. And I know one day, again, Cubs fans, you'll be able to go back and watch that. Yeah, Ronnie Belliard was the guy that made an unbelievable play. He saved a game. in that one. So it's really, really cool. It's one of those deals where you go back and watch it, you just like sit there and shake your head.
You do forget, because I was looking back at 06. I totally forgot the Mets, who he didn't pitch in the postseason. They had Pedro.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. They had Pedro Martinez.
Oh, I did not know
that. Tom Glavine, who started game one.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And of course, the Cardinals had, what, Dotel at some point. One of those teams had Dotel. Arthur Rhodes. Totally had forgotten about Arthur Rhodes. Mark Zepchinski, who came over in the Colby Rasmus trade. Preston Wilson played in 06. And, of course, Edwin Jackson.
And Ryan Terrio.
Ryan Terrio. Good call. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, because Terrio is the one that got the first out of the inning that Freeze ended up tying it, right? I think. But it was just, it's amazing to go back and watch that. And then to watch game six again in 2011. Yeah. And, you know, the story behind that is I had four tickets to game seven. And I was in my man cave in Philo waiting, you know, watching that game. And the Rangers go up 7-4. And I'm like, oh, no, this isn't going to happen. Then the Cardinals come back and tie it. Freeze, of course, hits the triple over Nelson Cruz in right field, who I still think should have caught that ball. But I'm glad he didn't. And Freeze even said, he said, I thought he caught it. Mm-hmm. I thought he caught it. And he said the only reason I realized he hadn't is the crowd just went crazy. So I just kept running. And so then, of course, I've always said this, you got Berkman up, went down to his last strike. And I thought to myself, here's Lance Berkman, played at Rice, was college player of the year at Rice. Played all those years in Houston, never won a World Series. Now he's facing a Texas team, and he's going to be the guy that makes the last out to give Texas a World Series after he'd grown up in this state and done everything he should except win.
True.
And what's he do? He just kind of flares one to center to tie the game, and then, of course, Freeze ends up winning it, sending it to Game 7, and boom. And I had forgotten in Game 7 that Texas had taken a 2-0 lead in the first inning off Chris Carpenter. And guess who came back with a double to tie it? David Freeze.
Oh.
David Freeze, who was just ridiculous in that. He was ridiculous in that entire series. So it was just kind of fun to go back. I should have brought him in. You want to watch him?
Yeah, I should.
I'll bring him in so you can watch. Do you even have a DVD player, you kids?
I got a PS4 to play some DVDs.
See, I'm the only guy that can still watch, I think, DVDs and listen to CDs.
Yeah.
I've actually been
reading LaRusse's book.
Oh, yeah.
2011. Well, he's got the Three Nights in August, but Last Strike
is
about the 2011 season, so I've been reading that during the old self-quarantine.
I think I read that. I think. You'll have to bring it to me maybe and see if I've read that one. I thought I did. The Three Nights in August is a pretty cool book, too, because it details... I know everybody called him the genius.
The series with the Cubs, right?
Yeah, details the series with the Cubs. But I remember a buddy of mine, Taylor Freeman, said, you know what, Lon? Here's the deal with Tony. I'll never get mad with any decision he makes, because when he makes a decision, he thought about it 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And that's so true. And this book kind of describes how he sat down on, like, the series started on a Friday. It's like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday against the Cubs. And he's at, like, a Starbucks on a Wednesday night at, like, midnight, and he's going through every possible lineup that he could put up against the Cubs, and he's thinking, okay, well, if they counter with this guy, I'm going to counter with this guy. That's how much planning ahead Tony La Russa did. And, of course, La Russa ends up retiring after he called it quits after that 2011 World Series. So just kind of cool. Just cool to go back. And tonight, because I didn't get to it yesterday, last night, tonight I'm going home and watching Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, Blues and Bruins. Now, that one's still fresh in my mind, but I want to go back and watch that for sure. All right, when we come back, Corey Bradford, former Illini, playing basketball in China recently when they shut everything down. He went through a quarantine there. Now he's back in the States going through another quarantine, so we're going to ask him about that. We'll talk to Corey next. And also at 5:05, Adrian Griffin, which is Alan Griffin's dad. But if you remember, if you're my age, Adrian Griffin was a hell of a basketball player in the NBA. And, of course, an NBA assistant coach with the Toronto Raptors, won a title there. We'll have to ask him about winning the championship. So we'll do all that ahead. If you've got any questions or you got any thoughts, send them in. 359-2255. That's 217-359-2255. You can find us on Twitter. Just search at The Drive 93.5.
Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to TayandPiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at ESPNCU.com, or you can watch us live on YouTube. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
Well, you've done very well in this job interview. I want to know what powers you through the day.
Well, I use a AAA battery as a backup on my alarm clock. Then I turn on my TV for the weather with my AA powered remote. I drove here in my car that has an MT58 Interstate battery. Oh, I forgot about my watch. It has a coin cell battery from Interstate Battery. I once had a fire in my house, and I knew about it because my smoke detector had a 9-volt Interstate battery. So I guess you could say that Interstate Battery powers me. If you need the hookup, go to them in Champaign on Madison.
Wow, you seem charged up for this job.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands Inc. Your heating and cooling system works hard for you all year long to keep you and your family comfortable. That's why it's important to have it maintained and serviced regularly. Our techs are ready to help you with all your indoor air quality, humidity, and filtration needs. Visit LandsInc.com today for specials on a brand new Train system for your home and to see for yourself why it's hard to stop a Train. At Lands Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Bad hair day? Bad day at the office? Bad day behind the wheel? Hey, stuff happens, even to the best of us. At least your car insurance rate doesn't have to take a hit. Get Erie Rate Lock from Erie Insurance. Gives you a great rate that stays put until you change a car, driver, or your address. Plus, seriously good service. Now that's something to smile about.
Your Erie agent in Champaign is Thomas and Eller's Insurance. Get a quote at 217-356-2400.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
Remember this?
Oh, yeah! David Freeze has just seen us in the game number 7.
Relive the 2011 Cardinal season one more time.
They came from nowhere.
Hear every pitch, every hit of every game of Cardinals baseball from August 25th against the Pirates through Game 7 of the 2011 World Series.
One of the happiest moments in Cardinal history.
The 2011 Cardinals World Series replay, starting Monday on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Oh, yeah! David Freeze has just seen us in the game number 7.
It's the Cardinals Classic.
They came from nowhere.
Relive some of your favorite Cardinal games from 2011. Monday through Friday at 6:15, Saturdays at 6, Sundays at noon.
One of the happiest moments in Cardinal history.
Right here on ESPN 93.5.
The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, you just heard that. Starting tonight, right here on ESPN 93.5 through Friday at 6:15. And then on the weekend as well. Let's see, Saturday at 6, Sunday at noon. They're going to be classic replays of the Cardinals 2011 season. Cardinals Network airing games from August 25th of the 2011 season through Game 7 of the World Series. And we'll also have this on our live stream through StevieJ.com. So we're giving you baseball, man. You'll see the Listen Live button at the top under ESPN 93.5. Don't forget to tune in each day. Baseball season may be halted, but you can relive the excitement at the end of the 11 season right up to the World Championship win right here on ESPN 93.5. I think that's awesome. The Cardinals Network is doing that and giving us a chance to watch baseball. Yes, please. Yes, please. All right, it is The Drive. Lante, Derek Piper, Isaac Ambrose in as well. And it is time to check in with our guy, Corey Bradford, former Illini. Everybody knows him. What am I even doing here? It's Corey. What's up, buddy?
How's it going, brother?
Hey, you had a monumental upset in Jeremy Warner's Illini bracket. Do you know anything about that?
I have no idea about that. What's going on?
So, Jeremy, you'll have to go to, it would be IllinienQuirer.com, Corey. And okay. He put together, he seeded everybody one through eight, four regions. Four okay. regions. And I don't remember who Corey upset, but you upset somebody pretty big. It was kind of, hold on, Derek's going to find that out as we're talking. How you been, man? You're still shooting hoop.
Yeah, man. I mean, unfortunately, with what's been going on in the world, kind of cutting it short for me, and it's not able me to finish out this last ride.
I was going to ask, and we were trying to look at this, and Isaac was laughing because he couldn't even pronounce half the teams you played on, but how many countries, like, just rip off a few countries that you've played professional basketball in?
Hungary, France, Qatar, Colombia, Mexico, Dominican Republic, Colombia, Dubai.
Wow.
China, as of recently. Bosnia.
Wow.
Where else? Cyprus. Costa Rica.
Unreal.
I've been in a number. It's quite a bit. I got to really kind of go through the archives and keep a checklist on that.
That's amazing.
All right, Corey, you were a 6 seed in the D. Brown region. You upset 3 seed Bruce Douglas.
Wow!
And now you're in the Sweet 16 against 2 seed Deion Thomas. Now, I'm assuming, well, I know, 3s count more than 2s, so you like your chances against Deion?
Man, I don't know Deion. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. It's all about upset, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely, if I get it over Deion, it's definitely enough.
I thought it was a little bit against Bruce. Bruce Douglas was such a good player. I know you are a student of the game, and you remember a lot of those names. I think that's pretty cool.
Right.
All right. You mentioned China. I want to ask you about that, and then we'll get more to your career. You have actually, what the United States is going through right now with this quarantine on the COVID-19, you went through it before any of us in China. Kind of explain, I mean, how scary was that? And just, you know, because now at least we had other countries to kind of compare it to here in the United States. Mm-hmm. Back, you know, when it hit China, that was pretty early. So what was that like for you?
Right. Well, it was scary and like overwhelming in a way. When I arrived back in China for my break, it was like January 14th, 15th. And then a week later, everything hit. And it just, I mean, it didn't ease into it. I mean, it just hit right away. And it just, everything shut down, you know, after a few days, after the Chinese New Year. Obviously, it's the biggest time of year in China, as you know. Once that happened, it was like the gym shut down, the restaurant shut down. A lot of the, you know, business establishments shut down, of course. And it just seemed like the whole country just locked down. You know, it was mandatory quarantine. And the good thing about that whole situation is that everyone followed those guidelines. And I think that's why they're up at about 90-95% in full throttle, you know, as we speak. So, and that's something that we have to do as well. And that's something that we're, you know, we're in the midst of at this point. And what makes it extremely difficult during that time is that during a lockdown is when I found out the news about Archibald.
Oh, wow.
That weekend was tough.
Corey, we all know how it went down here that Thursday night when Rudy Gobert tested positive. Right. They pulled the Jazz and the Thunder off the floor. Where were you when that kind of broke in China? Did you have a feeling that it would make its way to the U.S.? And also, when you're there locked down, what was it like trying to make your way back over here?
I mean, when everything went down, you just don't know how things are going to turn out. I just know it kind of hit Asia pretty hard in certain places. And I got out at the right time, obviously. And fortunately enough, I had another job opportunity that hit right at the same time. And obviously, if you know me, you know, people that know me personally know I'm a germ phobe, you know what I mean? So I'm always wiping things down, sanitizing, things like that. So that just came as a natural habit to myself. But dealing with that situation, I just had to kind of keep my cool in it, not panic, not try to overwhelm myself in terms of, you know, panicking for my wife. You know, my wife was kind of going through it like, hey, you got to get out of there. You know,
right.
They shut things down. And of course, you know, I was still in the heat from a lot of people to get back. And fortunate enough, I did get back in time and it obviously worked out. But what's so funny about this is that I just got back from Mexico because they postponed the season there, of course. Mm. So I'm actually in quarantine for my wife right now. I'm actually in the garage. We just had our 10-foot meal together, meaning we were 10 feet from each other. She was at the doorway in the garage. I was at the end of the garage. So I'm actually in the garage as we speak.
So, I love that.
And so I'm actually quarantining myself from her for 2 weeks just to take closer precautions, you know, rather be safe than sorry, you know?
Oh, amen. And I know, listen, Corey, I know you're not an expert on this, but you are, unlike many of us that are going through this for the first time, and you've had kind of the idea to go through it twice, is the United States doing enough? Like, are we not taking it serious enough, or do you think by now we finally are?
I think most of the people are. I mean, again, I'm getting the same information as everyone else.
Right.
And obviously, it's going to be some people that doesn't take it serious, but I think in order for this thing to work out, you know, just just follow the experts. They know what's best for us. They know what's going to help in the long run. And if we just follow those guidelines, I think, you know, everything should get back to normal in no time. But, you know, we have to discipline ourselves to do that and do the right thing. And not only for our self, you know, health, but for the health of others as well.
I'm sitting here. Corey Bradford is our guest, by the way, former Illini, the stud. I'm trying to think. Derek said you're, what's the streak at, like 4,200 now, straight threes?
You know what? Playing overseas, I definitely don't have a I don't think I remember not hitting a three in any of my professional games, which is great. And what's so cool about it is that I only missed one professional game my whole career.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and that's just because I think I got food poisoning. I had something bad to eat, and I think that's the only time I actually missed a professional game. So, like I said, it's health is wealth, and I've been blessed enough to play this game for a long time, and I'm 41, and my goal was to play till I was 40, and could I play a few more years? Of course, but my wife would not have that.
She's like, enough. Do your quarantine.
Yeah,
and then
enough is enough.
We got a new life together, right? Well, I want to ask you real quick one more about the quarantine, then we can move on to your playing days. You know, it's one thing to be like us now, and there's a little bit of a, I don't know if I'm like scared. I don't know if that's the word I got to use, but you know, you are in a little bit of a panic to make sure you got enough food and you got enough liquids, et cetera, at your house, because you're going to be kind of shut in. But what was that like being in a foreign country where, you know, I can't imagine how you've had to kind of adapt your hunger to each country and figure out what you're going to eat there. That's amazing to me. I couldn't I'd be 5 pounds, which maybe I need to do that. But how did you, I mean, facing this in like China, when all of a sudden they're like, hey, we're going to go on quarantine, you're going to be locked in your house, you got to go do whatever. What was that like for you?
It wasn't bad at all. The place I was in was in Zhuhai, China. I was literally maybe 45 minutes from Hong Kong border, and I was about 10 minutes from Macau border. And as we know, Macau is like the Las Vegas of China.
Got it.
And Zhuhai was really cool. You know, of course, we were on lockdown. Everyone was quarantining, but the grocery stores were open, and some restaurants, obviously, you had to do Uber Eats or something like that. Their version of Uber Eats and stuff like that with the delivery. Same thing they're doing here as well. But I think the stressful part about it was the checkpoint, because in order to go outside, you had to wear masks. It was mandatory. Everyone had to wear masks. And the other thing is that, you know, when you go in a grocery store, they do your temperature check. Oh. When you leave the grocery store, they do your temperature check. Even when I was traveling from to the States from China, when I left, when they scanned my boarding pass, they checked my temperature. Before I got on the plane, they checked my temperature.
Wow.
Even during the flight, they checked their temperature.
What are they going to do there? I mean,
exactly. It's like, hey, within 5 minutes, you could catch it. We don't know. But again, that's how strict they were and how serious they were as far as, you know, handling this thing and stuff. And I kind of applaud them for that, because they were definitely on top of it.
Talking to Corey Bradford, you know the name, former Illini great 3-point shooter. Corey, what's the ride been like for you? I mean, you've played about as long as Vince Carter now. You kind of follow the same trajectory, a lot of different teams. What's that ride been like as far as just switching, you know, different years, different spots, but also just having the longevity and continuing to play ball throughout this whole stretch?
It's been a blessing. Like I said, just being healthy is always the number one thing. I've been blessed to play in some wonderful countries, and obviously if I didn't play basketball, I would have saw a lot of these places. I played in Egypt. That was a competitive, wonderful league, and I never got a chance to see the pyramids if I didn't play in Egypt. You know what I mean? So it just brought so many good memories throughout my career, and I'm just blessed to play this game this long. And again, you know, they call me Uncle now everywhere I go. OG or Uncle is my nickname everywhere I go. And again, they don't give me a hard time. It's always, hey man, what did you eat? You need to give me some of that LeBron.
No doubt.
So like, man, hey, just health, you know, just eat right, rest, you know, listen to your body, and just, you know, never take the journey, you know, don't take it for granted. So that's always been my thing to the young guy.
What was your favorite spot you ever played?
I had to be Hungary. My first 3 years playing overseas in Hungary, I still have a great relationship with those fans. They still show me love. On and off the court, I enjoyed. It was one of the best times of my life. And and I want to say I was in Hungary, in Budapest, actually during that 2005 season. And it was a lot of U of I alum in that Irish pub I was at that night. Never forget.
That's awesome. that would be amazing that the idea that you've seen so much of the world, Corey. I mean, I know being able to play basketball has always been your dream and you've done it well, but to also, I mean, how many people would love to go to half of the places you've been to see part of the world? I mean, that what a culture experience you've had in your life.
Absolutely. I've developed some wonderful lifelong relationships, you know, during this journey. I've learned so many different cultures and learned so many wonderful things. And, you know, it's just one of these things that I'm just extremely grateful for, you know, extremely grateful. Hopefully it doesn't come to an end, but yeah, this virus is kind of shortening things up. So I should know something next couple of weeks, but it's not looking good.
You ever squared off any Big Ten foes over there?
Ooh,
international ball?
Brian Brown. I played against Brian Brown, who played Ohio State. We played against each other in France, actually. Actually played with Demir. As you know, we played with each other in France, my EuroLeague days. And I actually played for Demir, as you know, when I was in Bosnia. I think we talked a couple times during that season.
Demir
ended up being my boss, which was funny, by the way. Playing against any Big Ten players, you know, especially during my time or even after my time, I haven't had an opportunity to play against them. Outside of Brian Brown from Ohio State, you know, obviously he was with that group with Michael Redd and Scoonie Penn.
Yes.
During my years, he's the only Big Ten player I got a chance to play against.
And you probably brought up the Big Ten tournament a few times to him?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. it's one of them things like, and it's funny because he guarded me all the time. We played Ohio State, and obviously when we play each other, he guarded me and stuff like that. He said, no, I already know.
Corey, take me through that run your freshman year. I know we've done this before, but I think, you know, we always have a new batch of listeners that come along, and honestly, it refreshes my memory. But I know my story there was you guys were playing against Minnesota, I think, as it started against Minnesota, then Indiana, then Ohio State, and then Michigan State. But you guys were the last seed. I had gone to Chicago, planned on spending one night there because I'm sorry, Corey, I didn't think you were going to win. And, of course, you guys, you got, I think it was Quincy Lewis, right? You beat Quincy Lewis in Minnesota. Now, did you guys have any idea in your mind that you'd be able to knock off three top 25 teams during that tournament?
Well, you know, during that season was just a huge learning experience for us. But if you would go to our practices or seen our approach every single day, you would think we were the best team in the Big Ten. It's just our approach. And you know, we have to give credit to Coach Kruger and the staff for that, as far as mentally having us ready and having a mentality like, hey, even though we're last in the Big Ten or even though, you know, we're not winning these games, we still got to have the approach as if we're still in the race, you know. And you saw that from us. Like, we had some games that we always came up short, but again, it was just experience. You know, that year it was so many veteran teams in the Big Ten, it was almost impossible. Even Northwestern was tough with Evan Eschmeyer. You know what I mean? So, going into that tournament, I think the whole of Coach Kruger's approach was, you know what, let's just change up our whole game plan. Let's do something that teams don't expect us to do. Let's run more. Let's push the ball more. Let's get more shots up. Let's attack gaps on defense. I mean, we just completely changed our whole game plan up on the offensive, defensive end, and it just showed. We just went out there and surprised them. Look, guys, this is our last opportunity, and we start peaking at the right time, and unfortunately, we just ran out of gas against us.
Sure.
Very, very tough Michigan State team, of course.
Corey, we spoke to Jack Ingram at the end of last week about the run in 2005. You guys made a nice little run in 2001, won a Big Ten title. Mm-hmm. Brian Cook.
Don't remind me. Please don't remind me.
Marcus McGriff, unfriendly whistle at the end.
Kind of remind me all the time about that.
The common thread there. What do you remember about that season, though? How special was that season playing for Bill Self and what you guys were able to do?
Well, you know, that season, it was the mentality we had was that we know we're going to win the national championship, but it was how we're going to win the national championship.
Hmm.
You know, that was our approach. And we were so confident that season that, you know, like Coach Self said, you know, we're the type of team we could run through a brick wall. But again, it was like a gift and a curse, you know what I mean, for us with that, because our problem was that we never adjusted to outside officiating when it came to our style of play. And that's what hurt us in the long run, I think. Not to give excuses, I think that's just one of the things that kind of hurt us. We didn't really adjust to it. We said, look, no matter what, we're going to bruise teams. They can call a million fouls. We're still going to bruise teams. That was our identity. We just wanted to wear teams down. And you know, of course, that year when we really wore down Michigan State, we knew it, like, you know, this is our time. This is our throne. We're the brick house of the country right now. We're the most physical team, and we're going to show it, and we're going to beat every team up that we play. And that was our game plan. And our whole game plan against Arizona, even when we played the United Center, was any chance we get, just hit them. Hit them every chance we get, because we thought they were a soft team, a less physical team. They had a couple players that we had to keep an eye on that could handle the bruising that we gave. But, you know, unfortunately, it's just, you know, we came up short. But, again, you know, we still had an opportunity. They would have missed a few free throws down the stretch.
Right.
It would have been an interesting game, you know, even though me and Frank were the two biggest guys at the end of the game. You know, we played San Antonio, but, you know, unfortunately, we came up short. But, you know, it's just one of them things. I think that year really hurt me the most, because I knew, we are the best team in the country, and we just didn't quite get over that hump, you know. And again, you know, no knock from Arizona, but they were a very good team. They were very talented, well-coached team.
Corey, you had the chance. Corey Bradford, our guest. You had the chance to play for Lon Kruger and Bill Self. What were thoughts on both of those guys? How much different, like, was Self when he came in as opposed to Kruger, et cetera? I was able to, you know, cover both of them, but I always loved Coach Kruger. I thought he was maybe the nicest gentleman I've ever met in my life.
Right,
but what was it like to play for both of those guys? Were their styles completely different or fairly similar?
I mean, obviously for me, personally, it was a different style mostly too, because in a way the offense kind of catered towards me. It was like more of a guard offense when we were with Coach Kruger. A lot of stagger screens, a lot of things that cater to the guard, you know, position to make plays, you know, to say. With Coach Self, it was more like, hey, open guy, take open shot. We all are playmakers, you know, make the extra pass, really get after it on defense, you know, try to execute a lot of our offense from our defense type of mentality. And I think that was a difference amongst the two. That's something that I was blessed. You know, I tell the guys a lot of times that I'm extremely lucky in my career because I got the opportunity to play for two of the best coaches in college basketball. And it just, and those two coaches are the reason why I'm still playing today, because of the habits that I've learned and all the tools and stuff I've got from those two coaches and stuff really carried on to my pro career and reason why I've had success.
One more for you, Corey. What do you think about where the Illinois basketball program is now after the season they had? They were a top four seed in the Big Ten tournament, would have gone to the NCAA tournament first time in 7 years. Not had that opportunity, obviously very disappointing. But what do you think about where they are and maybe where they're headed in the future?
Coach Underwood got them hooping. You know, I'm extremely happy. And you know what's funny is that Dominique Keller was over in China with me as well. So, you know, we were kind of hyped and happy and talking up the team and like, man, hey, we got this opportunity. And then it's like, all right, we got another opportunity to win the Big Ten out. Didn't happen. We're like, oh, we still got opportunity. You know what I mean? So, I mean, the guys showed so much promise. And I mean, they're building and building, and the coaching staff done a wonderful job getting those guys ready. So I'm excited, I'm happy. And every time I see Frank's son play, it just reminds me that I'm 41 years old. And it's crazy because the last time I saw him, I think he was 4 years old. So I'm just extremely happy for the program, and always have been. It's just, I think it's our, I mean, it's been our time. I think we're way overdue. And again, this thing that's going on that's affecting our world right now.
Sure.
It's kind of, you know, putting a hex on everything, unfortunately.
Well, Corey Bradford, it's a short list for me of my favorite Illini. It's you, Frank, and Matt Heldman are three of the guys. Matty. I mean, what a great kid he was, right? How about that team?
Absolutely.
How about that team that won a Big Ten title with Kevin Turner?
Right.
Jared G., Brian Johnson. I mean, Jerry Hester, how in the world did they win a Big Ten title?
Those were some men. That's all I have to say. That group helped us out, you know, because at the time, me and Sergio was a freshman. Obviously, I was a red shirt freshman during that time, and they just beat the crap out of us every single day. And it's no surprise that team was Big Ten champions because, I mean, I think we had maybe 6-7 seniors that season.
Yes.
So, I mean, what a perfect group to learn from, and I think that's one team that really doesn't get enough credit like they should, though.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Jelani Bellini, I think, was on that team.
Right.
It was
Kevin Freeman, who's an actor right now.
That's right.
Actor right now.
Was Arius Davis?
His name is McKinley Freeman.
McKinley, okay, and he's an actor.
Yep.
Wow, that's incredible. It's just fun to go back and it's just fun to go. I mean, that's when, as an Illinois fan, when the season started, you knew you were up for some good things. And unfortunately, the last decade hasn't presented that. But I feel like you said, Brad Underwood has this thing turned now. And I think we'll go back to those days where Illinois basketball should be. Corey Bradford, everybody loves hearing from you. One of the things I love more than anything I've stayed in touch with you and stayed friends with you because you're a wonderful man. And congrats on your long career. Keep me updated on that.
And we'll
do it again soon.
Absolutely. Looking forward to getting back to Champaign and catching some games next season and, you know, enjoying this off time and go from there. Definitely wish nothing but health for you guys and your families and stuff. You know, definitely be careful. Take it easy. And, you know, we can gut this thing out together and get back to being normal, I'll say.
Amen. And I love how you're using the quarantine as the excuse why you've been sent to the garage.
It was either lock me in the bathroom or get a hotel. So.
here's the dog in the garage. Have fun.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Corey.
Have a good one, guys. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Corey
Bradford. That's the best.
That was cool.
Truly, that's my list. Frank. Oh, I was going to ask him. Yesterday, I was watching that Frank Williams, you know, that 2 minutes against Iowa or whatever, where he... It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen an Illini player do in 2 minutes. You know, when he just took over. Yeah, the behind-the-back pass to Cook. Well, you know who was wide open in the corner when he did the behind-the-back? Corey. And I was going to ask Corey about that because he made that unbelievable pass, and then he stole a ball and came down. He dunked before. It was crazy. But Corey Bradford, man, it was so fun to watch that team grow up. And to be able to cover, when I was at WAND, to be able to cover Matt Heldman's team and Kevin Turner and Jerry Hester and Jared G and those guys that won a Big Ten title. And then, you know, then it's such a young team with Lucas and Demir and Robert and Corey and these guys. And then to watch them grow and become Big Ten champions. And like Corey said, you can hear it in his voice. He thinks they were the best team in the country. And I wouldn't argue because, I mean, I don't know how far Arizona went in that tournament. I don't remember, but certainly, I think, what was it? 6 guys fouled out for Illinois in that game. That's 30 fouls right there. So 6 guys fouled out.
50-some free throws.
That's right. I mean, and they didn't miss. That was the thing that was amazing. Lute Olson had a lot in that. He was a whiny. After Lucas basically talked crap to him up at the United Center, there's no doubt about that. Well, we hope you enjoyed that with Corey Bradford. I know I did. That is awesome to hear his voice and to hear him doing so well. He's back in the States. Now, when we come back, Adrian Griffin, of course, Alan Griffin's dad. Adrian Griffin spent a long time in the NBA, coach of the Toronto Raptors and assistant coach. He's going to join us next to chat about, you know, this NBA being shut down and also how Alan's progressing. We'll do it all next. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampaign.com for a free estimate.